From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. It was a day for ceremony and celebration in the nation's capital today as President Bush was sworn in for a second term. Mr. Bush used his inaugural address to call for the expansion of freedom around the world, saying it was America's obligation to stand with those who are promoting democracy. The speech, delivered on the west side of the Capitol building, did not specifically mention Iraq, nor were there any specifics about the ambitious domestic agenda the president plans to pursue over the next 4 years. NPR's Don Gagne starts off our coverage.
This is an opportunity only 19 other Americans have ever had to raise their right hand and take the oath of office as President of the United States for a second time. President Bush was sworn in by an ailing Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, William Rehnquist.
Will you raise your right hand, Mr. President, and repeat after me? I, George Walker Bush.
I, George Walker Bush.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
The president seemed to want to savor the moment today. He paused before stepping up to the podium, looking back at the Capitol Dome, to the family members and dignitaries arrayed all around and in front of him, and finally out to the crowd. He opened with a reference to the 9/11 terrorist attacks that occurred just 8 months into his first term.
At this second gathering, our duties are defined not by the words I use, but by the history we have seen together. For a half a century, America defended our own freedom by standing watch on distant borders. After the shipwreck of communism came years of relative quiet, years of repose, years of sabbatical. And then there came a day of fire.
The president spoke of ideologies that he says feed hatred and excuse murder.
There is only one force of history that can break the reign of hatred and resentment and expose the pretensions of tyrants and reward the hopes of the decent and tolerant, and that is the force of human freedom.
The president said that common sense leads to just one conclusion, that the survival of liberty here depends on the spread of freedom and liberty to places where there now is none. Mr. Bush also took the oath at a time of war for the U.S. He praised the sacrifice and dedication of the U.S. military, but he did not mention Iraq by name, nor did he cite the elections that are scheduled there later this month, or the ongoing violence that has claimed the lives of more than 1,300 U.S. soldiers. Mr. Bush said America's influence is not unlimited, but that it is considerable.
From all of you, I have asked patience in the hard task of securing America, which you have granted in good measure. Our country has accepted obligations that are difficult to fulfill and would be dishonorable to abandon. Yet because we have acted in the great liberating tradition of this nation, tens of millions have achieved their freedom.
The ultimate goal, the president said, is ending tyranny in the world. While the major thrust of the speech was America's role in the world, Mr. Bush also spoke of challenges that remain here at home. He talked of an ownership society, a term he used often on the campaign trail, a society of expanded home and business ownership, and personal control over things like health insurance and retirement accounts. But the president also called for greater volunteerism, and tying domestic goals to his international view, had this to say on race relations in the U.S.
And our country must abandon all the habits of racism, because we cannot carry the message of freedom and the baggage of bigotry at the same time.
It was a speech with plenty of idealistic language, referring to freedom 27 times and to liberty 15 times. It also had strong religious overtones. The president is expected to say more about issues and programs in his State of the Union speech on February 2nd. Today, the message was all about finding a theme, something larger than his own agenda, a mission not only for his second term, but for the nation's future. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.